Well, Kylan Mills and I were just talking about how there isn't a lot to talk about when it comes to the Golden State Warriors. This is where we're earning the big bucks, but we do have some quasi-news pertaining to the interesting question in Dub Nation's circles right now. Who's running things? Who's going to be actually making the picks for the draft? We're going to be talking about that and so much more next. This is Locked On Warriors.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube where all our live shows are. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today's episode is brought to you. Is it brought to you by someone? It is Bird Dog. Go to birddogs.com/lockedonNBA. And when you enter the promo code LockedOnNBA, they'll throw in a free custom Bird Dogs Yeti style tumbler with every order. And I can vouch for that tumbler. It is awesome. It is my go-to choice now for portable beverage, a portable beverage container, and I love Bird Dog shorts. So endorsing that there. You can follow Kylan Mills on all social media platforms, including Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at Kylan Mills. You can follow me, Cyrus Otzes, on Twitter at DogSurfRocho. Kylan, great to see you. Look at Gilbert throwing out fashion tips or maybe fashion compliments on our show today. That's how exciting the NBA is right now. No elbow patches.
No elbow patches. Sorry. It is like old school, but the like printed and plaid blazers and that kind of look are so back in right now. Like you see these everywhere for women and oversized. It's, you know, it's all the rave right now. I got to keep my fashion point.
Yeah, I will never claim to be an expert on fashion. I just keep it simple. I'm all about the beach lifestyle, so that's how I roll. But regardless, we're not here to talk fashion. We're here to talk Warriors. Here is one thing, and we'll start the show with this, Kylan, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this. We briefly texted last night. My trusted Warriors insider, I have one specifically who I talked to because I was on my our good friend Larry Kruger's show the other night, and the question came up, who's actually calling the shots here? Like the draft is less than 2 weeks away. Who's going to be making the draft picks? I mean, even though Lakeham made that joke at the Bob Myers press conference that he's under contract until the end of June, so he's still going to be working. That's obviously not reality. I mean, Bob Myers is if he might still have his stuff in the building, but he's got his foot out the door and maybe his entire body out the door. So the question is, who's running things? And I was having a conversation with my insider last night, asking him that very question. And his response was that Mike Dunleavy Jr. right now is in charge. He was one of the assistant GMs. He's not the only assistant GM on the team. They also have Larry Harris. Those two have considerably different roles. Larry Harris is much more on the scouting side of things. But Mike Dunleavy Jr. right now is the shot caller. Now, with that said, it's not like Mike Dunleavy Jr. has carte blanche to just go ahead and make to be wheeling and dealing out there, making decisions on his own. He's not going to be able to just make the 19th pick without checking in with Joe Lacob and company. Lacob has the final say. He is calling the shots ultimately. And the Warriors are in no rush to fill that GM position. They're in no rush to decide who's going to be taking over the mantle, how the whole power structure works. So that is where we are now with the Golden State Warriors. I'm not telling you much, but there isn't much going on. Kylan, your thoughts on that information?
Not a huge shock to me, Cyrus, because there was a report that came out from ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski that said that initially, he was hearing that Mike Dunleavy Jr. would likely be elevated and that Kirk Lacob, Joe Lacob's son, would also be elevated as a result of general manager Bob Myers leaving the Warriors organization. So that was among the first reports as Bob Myers announced his departure. And that doesn't surprise me based on the way that Joe Lacob talked in that press conference regarding Myers' departure.
Right.
He flat out said, another thing that he did say in regards to the draft when asked about who would be in charge, and you pointed out something that he did say was that, you know, haha, Myers is still under contract till the 31st. We still want him to be involved. But Lacob also made it a point to say, well, we have a lot of staff in place that we feel confident We like the people that we have here. We have a lot of capable staffers who can also help make decisions, and we expect those people to step up in their roles and to help us, you know, navigate what to do with this draft. And so based on the Woj report, based on the way Joe Lacob was talking in that press conference, it's not a huge shock to me. That is what it seems like everything has been pointing to. There hasn't been any huge immediate rush to go out and find someone. It's not like Lacob made any sweeping statements like, yes, we are going to, you know, initiate a nationwide search immediately for our next general manager. This is something that is top priority, is bringing in the best of the best. That was not the way he talked. And sometimes that is how you hear ownership talk in terms of searching for the next candidate. Lacob did not take that tone at all. And then, like I said, that initial report coming out that the plan was to elevate Mike Dunleavy Jr. and Kirk Lacob, I mean, this would fall exactly in line with that. So not a huge shock. It seems like your source is right in line with what other sources have been saying and what's come out regarding the situation with the Golden State Warriors front office. I wouldn't be surprised if Mike Dunleavy Jr. is named general manager. I think that he's the most likely candidate at this point. Yet to hear any reports about the Warriors bringing anyone in, interviewing. But yes, and that's the funny thing that Chewy just brought up is that a lot of people in the Bay Area were not fans of Dunleavy when he was a player, which is why I'm curious as to, you know, drop a comment, let us know how you feel. Are people okay, happy about, against him potentially being elevated, you know, to the general manager of this organization? What are your thoughts, Cy?
I wholeheartedly agree. I remember back when Dunleavy Jr. was number three pick in the draft of the Golden State Warriors. He was one of the many colossal failures in terms of lottery picks for the Golden State Warriors during decades of just sheer incompetency, which is one of the many reasons why old school Warriors fans just were as elated as they were when the dynasty emerged. We never thought we'd see anything like that. And Dunleavy Jr. as a player was very symbolic of those dark times. Again, he was picked third, which is very high, did not live up to it. I know he had a great career at Duke, but as an NBA player, it was night and day. So I remember back when he was first announced as the assistant GM, I was thinking to myself, oh my God, like really, he's back? Like, he was one of those players like we just were hoping was in the rearview mirror of our memories, part of the distant past, and now by Bob Myers is selecting him. But at the same time, I don't think anyone can fairly judge Mike Dunleavy Jr., right, as a GM, as a personnel individual, just because we don't know. We have no information. We have no idea how good he is. I mean, only the people in that building and really more specifically Bob Myers would have any clue. You know, Dunleavy Jr. has made media appearances at times, but, you know, he hasn't done heavy media appearances. We don't really like have a lot of insights into his thinking. So right now, like, I think if you're going to be an open-minded individual, you have to just play by ear for now. You got to see who he actually wants, you know, what the results are. I mean, for me personally, when it comes to judgment, when it comes to any opinions on a show like this, I'm results driven, right? Like, I like to see what the results are based on the palette, based on what, you know, what all the work is. And right now we don't know what he is. We have no idea. So, what I don't like is keeping it in-house. I would want, and fortunately, I did hear that Lacob is not ruling out hiring someone out of the building, someone who maybe is a big name. Like everything is at play right now, which is good news. And Gilbert Abalo, for example, writes, you know, Sean Livingston's been hanging out. Yeah, but Sean Livingston hasn't really had like a personnel type role with the team. I think his handling is more so with the players. I don't know what his role is actually. Do you know what Livingston's specific role is? I actually don't know. I don't want to pretend like I do. So do you have any idea?
I'm not positive. No.
Yeah. I've never heard his name associated with like personnel, with, you know, with scouting, drafting. I haven't heard his name, associated with those kinds of decisions. I mean, he's called a basketball executive with the Warriors. You know, like if you're in the building, you see him oftentimes hanging out courtside, talking to the players. I know he helps Steve Kerr a lot. But in terms of specifics, I mean, his title is Director of Player Affairs and Engagement, which tells me that he maybe is like a liaison between the team and the players. I think Leandro Barbosa had that title at one point. I wouldn't hate it. I would not hate Sean Livingston as a GM, but I just don't think realistically that's going to be the direction the Warriors go. Yeah, so I don't know. What do you think? Do you have any final thoughts on Dunleavy before we move on? Any opinions of your own?
Yeah. So, I mean, my question is just if you're going to, I do like more so the idea of bringing in someone fresh who's going to have some new ideas and bring a fresh look to this team and this organization. I mean, my question is, if Dunleavy Jr. is, you know, is an apple who's fallen out of the Bob Myers tree, are we going to run into the same issues next year in terms of the coaching staff and the front office not aligning on roster construction? Right. I'm just very curious to see how the dynamic continues to play out. And that's why I wonder just, you know, would it be beneficial to bring in fresh blood and someone with a new perspective who could try to, you know, mold their ideas or work together with the coaching staff, figure out how to, I guess, marry the two. Because to me, there was, and we've talked about it at length, Cyrus, but, you know, there was a disconnect between the young players and the old players on the roster, and then between the coaching staff and the front office in terms of players they were bringing in not being played and, in my opinion, not being truly developed. When you look at Jonathan Kuminga, Moses Moody, James Wiseman, and the way they were, and they honestly, you could include Ryan Rollins and PBJ, although Rollins was hurt, but even the rookies, I just think that there could have been a better job done to develop them this season. But also it seems like Steve Kerr did have an aversion to playing those young players and really didn't trust them and wanted to turn to his vets. But at the same time, those are the players that your front office put on the roster. And this is the way it was built by the people in you know, your general manager's office. And you know that Lacob has a say in those decisions as well. Mm-hmm. So I just wonder, you know, it's like, how is that going to evolve into next season? And, you know, if does Dunleavy have those same ideals as Bob, and you know, how is he going to approach this? And you were right, Cyrus, in that we haven't heard really a ton from him in the past, currently, you know, just at all, really, in terms of his front office role. He hasn't done a lot of media, right. And so that's why these are all questions that remain to be answered. But you know, I'd just be curious if, you know, he wants to bring in young players and bring in the future just like Bob did, but then they aren't being played by the coaching staff. Where does that leave us a year from now? Is this front office going to pivot and try to bring in a veteran, as we've talked about some possible trade scenarios, Cyrus? So I'd be very curious to see, you know, what he says in terms of his philosophy, if it's going to be similar to Bob's, or exactly what direction he sees this roster going next season. So those are the things that I want to know before making a judgment call, you know, totally. Because I agree that I don't know that it's necessarily fair to judge Mike Dunleavy Jr.'s abilities in the front office and a scouting and a personnel manner, you know, just because I know a lot of people didn't love him as a player. And I was going to ask Cy, before we do move on, just Dunleavy Jr. never did anything as a player. Like, that's one thing that I keep asking Warriors fans, like, well, no, like, wasn't really him. It was more just like the symbol of the times and like the struggles the Warriors were having, like the fact that he was such a big disappointment for a 3 overall pick, but like there wasn't anything he did per se where like he's not like a good person or,
right,
you know, be capable in this type of role. And obviously to get even to that level and be a number 3 pick and to play even in the NBA at all, you have to know basketball very well. So, you know, I think that I agree with you in terms of giving him a fair shot, but I also could see an advantage, you know, from bringing in someone new.
Yeah, no, I totally hear you. And I agree. And when we come back, I'm going to give you a prediction for what I think is going to happen. And I don't think it's going to be an answer people are going to like. And if I'm wrong, great, because I don't want my prediction to come true. But something tells me the direction I'm going to reveal when we come back is what's going to happen. But first, we've got to give some love to eBay Motors and the Locked On Podcast Network. All my copy scripts are not working, so I'm going to have to wing this, which is not always the recommended direction to go with, but you got to do what you got to do. And look, eBay Motors is all about making life easy if you want to buy auto parts. They got into the game and they've got an incredible system where all you do is enter your car, your specific model, maybe a VIN even, so it's the exact model is figured out. And then you just drag the parts that you want to buy for your truck into the corner. And if the green check goes off, that means you got the right part. It's a guarantee. It's awesome. And obviously, they have incredibly low prices. So go check them out. eBay Motors, the right parts, the right fit, the right prices, guaranteed.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. For the everydayers, over the weekend, I might host a segment with Janelle Moore haven't had her on the show in a little while. And then Kylan and I will be back at it next week. But follow us on Twitter at Locked On Dubs. It's where we announce our show times, guests, etc. Follow Kylan Mills on all social media platforms, including Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram at Kylan Mills. So my prediction, and I hope it's not true, but my guess is that Joe Lacob is just going to take over. And for maybe 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, I don't know how long it's going to take, but he's going to really put his fingerprints on this team. It's probably going to be Dunleavy, who is GM by title, but Dunleavy is probably not going to be allowed to make any big decisions without clearing it. With Joe, Kirk Lacob will probably become the president of basketball operations. He'll have his fingerprints on it. And chances are that the one thing I love about Joe, and I think every member of Dub Nation should share these sentiments, is that the guy loves to win. Okay. He's the complete opposite of the Oakland A's owner, right? Or some of the other owners out there who could care less about winning. He wants to win. And that's his priority. So you gotta love that. Now, unfortunately, he might have to get his ego in check. Like, he might have to take control and realize through trial and error, and probably is going to be a lot of error, probably going to be some losing seasons if he does, in fact, try to become a GM and try to take on this Jerry Jones type role. They're probably going to learn, okay, I should not be doing this on my own. I should have a trusted basketball person who knows what they're doing in charge. And there might be some losing seasons before we see that. Now, if they win with him in charge, obviously nothing's going to change. His ego is just going to explode, and he's going to think he knows everything, and it'll continue on. But look, if they're winning, they're winning. That is my prediction for what's going to happen. That is going to be the next 2, 3, 5 years, is we're going to have the Joe Lacob show. And whether that's going to be successful or not remains to be seen. But it's probably the reality of it. He's the owner. He does have a prerogative, whether or not it's right or wrong. What do you think, Kylan? Am I off base? Am I right? What are your thoughts?
Based on the writing on the wall, I think your prediction is very realistic, Cyrus. I believe that relationship and the increasingly overbearing nature that Joe Lacob has taken on with his team was possibly a factor in Bob Myers' departure. You know, Joe Lacob addressed it in the media, the press conference about Bob Myers leaving. Joe Lacob said, you know, I think some of you have the wrong impression of me. You know, I think owners should be involved. Like, why would I just be hands off and not care about the team and not be involved in the processes? When you look at professional sports organizations, the owners should be involved. And he said it very emphatically. And I just don't know that I necessarily agree with that. The ownership side, you're looking at individuals with backgrounds in business. And if your background is in business and that's your expertise, then absolutely you should be applying that to help your organization. But if you are not someone that has professional basketball playing, coaching experience, and a long pedigree, you shouldn't be the one making the decisions in terms of evaluating talent, bringing in different talent, and making the decisions into the best way to construct a roster. Sure, mm-hmm. You know, you want to be involved in some capacity. I just think it's a very, very fine line in terms of how involved should an owner be. And to me, it just, the vibe is there that Lacob is starting to cross the line. And you know what I mean? And it's something where, you know, it could have grown over time. The Warriors are successful. You love, you know, the championships. It's been such a great run. You start to get more invested. You learn more about the sport. You start to get more involved. You start to get sucked in. Suddenly he's making draft boards. He's now like a mad scientist up there, just like Bob, you know, looking at all these different prospects and analytics and all these things. But at the same time, you hire someone to do that. Mm-hmm. And the person you hire should be the person who is the expert in basketball, talent evaluation, roster construction, personnel, statistics. Like, that person's responsible for bringing all that together, not the owner. Yeah. And I totally, like I said, I think that Joe Lacob comes from a good place. I think that he cares about this team. I think that he has clearly invested a lot into making this a winning organization. And he's a big reason why the Warriors have won 4 championships during this dynasty run. Like, he deserves a ton of credit. He's done fantastic things. But I think we're approaching the point where it's like just getting over that line where it's like, hey, dude, you need to loosen the reins a little bit. You need to take your hands off a little bit. You need to let your people that you hire do their jobs. It's not beneficial if you are interfering with those jobs, even though, yes, you want a say. Right. So I completely could see that happening if, you know, he doesn't get put in check, or if, you know, he doesn't have some kind of self-realization in terms of, I need to make sure that my people have the space to do their jobs to the best of their ability. So it'll be interesting to see how it works out. And these are all things that I'm just like reading the tea leaves based on, you know, just the way that things happened with Bob Myers and some of the things that were said, some reports that have come out in regards to Jalaika being more involved in the decision-making. And that's an interesting point brought up. Is that Jamie Yu, Lakeup will not be very objective. He thinks too much with his heart over his head. And it is clearly shown when he showed up to Santa Cruz to support Wiseman. That's interesting. And I think that's a good point. You need people in those front office positions. Your general managers do have to be objective in making basketball decisions, and that's fair. But I don't know. I think I could see your prediction totally coming true. ChatGPT GM. Yeah. I like that one. I think your prediction could come true, that Joe Lacob could start running the show. I think that he's, you know, started to become more involved and more involved and more involved. Now, you know, I personally think it needs to be a little step back, but I don't think that's what will happen, especially if he hires within house, especially if it's Mike Dunleavy Jr. and Kirk Lacob, you know, stepping up in terms of the roles and their titles. I absolutely could see Joe Lacob's, you know, continuing to take on more control over the basketball decisions.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, so we'll see if that happens, how it works out. Like you said, I mean, maybe the team continues winning and Joe Lacob is studied up and knows his stuff. And, you know, if he leads the charge in the decision-making, it'll be a good thing. But I just am one of those people who tends to believe, like, let your people that you hired with years and years and years of basketball experience make those types of decisions.
Absolutely.
And not that you have to be completely hands off, but like I said, you just got to really be careful about where that line is drawn in terms of not being overbearing and doing too much. Sorry, I feel like that was a long rant.
I'm with you. I mean, you look at the Miami Heat and Heat culture. Can you name their owner? The Spurs dynasty through all those years, could you name their owner? Most owners are not front and center. We don't know the names of most owners. Now look, Joe Lacob did oversee a dynasty. They have four championships and hopefully counting. But at the same time, I'm with you. I don't think anyone who has common sense in this field and sports would advocate for an owner who's hands on. And I think that's advice that just goes over organizations generally when it comes to hierarchies and effective, successful business structures. You don't want micromanaging. You don't want someone at the top having their fingers in multiple layers below. I mean, there's a reason why you hire other people to do these jobs for you. So I hear you on that. When we come back, I have some optimism to share in terms of the current roster, because you brought up a name that I wanted to highlight. I want to play this soundbite from Draymond Green as we're wrapping things up here. First, got to give some love to another one of our sponsors. We got a 2-ad day today, and that's Bird Dogs, which is all about clothing. Kylan, I'm sorry that I'm still so bummed for you that you missed out the free clothes that they shipped out.
It was like men's clothes, though, Cyrus. So to be clear for people listening or watching, Bird Dogs is men's clothing. So I would have had to get something for my husband. But if you need to get a gift for someone, a gentleman in your life, then this is the place to go.
There you go. And so I have a couple of their shorts. They are incredibly comfortable. They are incredibly stylish. And that's really what the angle is and the goal is of Bird Dogs, is clothes that makes you look good while you feel amazing. In this post-pandemic world where comfort has an extra layer of importance, that's where Bird Dogs comes in. And as an official sponsor of Locked On, we're stoked. And you also get a free tumbler with your Bird Dogs purchase. If you go to birddogs.com/LockedOnNBA and use the code LockedOnNBA, you get a free tumbler with every purchase. So go check it out, birddogs.com, and get stylish, gentlemen. There you go.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
One final segment with Kylan Mills and yours truly. You can follow Kylan Mills on all social media platforms at Kylan Mills. You can follow me, Cyrus Autzes, on Twitter at Dog Surf Roadshow. I wanted to finish up with this because you brought up Brian Rollins' name, and a lot of people have drawn attention to the fact that the Warriors last year had had a bench that was very young. And the Warriors, the Ryan Rollins thing was very perplexing in the sense that they spent extra money to move up, 6-7 spots in the draft to get him in the second round. someone clearly liked him. We never really learned who had an affinity for Ryan Rollins, but nonetheless, they like him. And the one thing about him, even though in the regular season for the Warriors, he didn't do much, when he was in Santa Cruz, and especially down the stretch, he was lighting it up. And he had a slow start, yet despite that, in 9 games in Santa Cruz, he averaged 18.6 points per game. He shot 36% from three. He was a 52% field goal shooter as a 6'4 guard. His handles improved. His shot improved. He started to look like a polished piece. And he had a more college experience than most of the other draft picks the Warriors have picked up in recent years. He played 2 years at Toledo. Kerr has shown an affinity for individuals who spend that extra time in college. Maybe that's the reason why Jordan Poole has become part of his quote-unquote core six, is because he played 2 years in Michigan, not one. So I have some optimism for Ryan Rollins. And to expand on that note, Patrick Baldwin Jr. I mean, this is someone who in theory could turn out to be something really special. I mean, we've heard people talk about how he could he looks a lot like Michael Porter Jr., who at least until the NBA Finals has been playing fantastic for the Denver Nuggets. He looks a bit like a 6'10 Klay Thompson out there. So there is in a weird world, this place for the Warriors, like a year or two from now, maybe as early as next year, suddenly are kicking ass. And a big reason for that is because you have these pieces that we kind of just glossed over, that we kind of like, you know, we're not highlighting those picks, and for good reason. They didn't show much in their rookie years, but they could still turn out into something. So there is a reason to be optimistic there. In addition to, I don't know if you've been watching Jonathan Kuminga, offseason workout reels. He's been looking damn good. Have you seen those, by the way?
Yeah, I have.
He looks good. I want to finish the show. CP3, I do not envision him coming to the Warriors Red Soul, so don't worry about that. So I want to finish the show on this.
Dub Nation would lose their minds if that happened. Sorry, I just have to laugh.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Warriors fans would lose their minds. I don't think there's any chance CP3 would come to the
Warriors. Absolutely. And Draymond Green still has his podcast, and he's one of the players that I'm very fascinated in terms of what's going to happen. I mean, the ball is in his court, whether he's going to exercise that player option. If he does, he's as good as back. If he doesn't, still could be back, depending on if the Warriors offer him a deal that he likes, but he could leave. I mean, it's crazy. We have no idea what's going to happen with Draymond Green, but regardless, he has a podcast. And he was talking about his longtime teammate, the legend himself, Stephen Curry, and more specifically, what drives Steph crazy? Because I haven't really heard anyone get into details on that. Like, what drives Steph insane? So here is Draymond Green as we wrap up the show.
Steph Curry, he made me aware of this, like, over through the years. It's guys holding on to the ball at the end of a quarter, like, so they don't lessen their shooting percentage. And I saw a couple guys do that yesterday. This is the NBA playoffs, man. It's the NBA Finals. Who cares if your shooting percentage drop a little bit? That very thing drives Steph Curry nuts. Steph gonna get very upset if you're just holding the ball and not shooting. Quite frankly, Steph is the best shooter we've ever seen, the greatest shooter we've ever seen. So his numbers are going to even out anyway, and he's going to get the attempts to even out. When you don't quite get the attempts, it's a tough thing. Jordan Poole actually helped us win the NBA championship. I hit in 2 shots last year before the buzzer. One of them was came across, he cross-crossed right in front of half-court line. He shoot it, and he make it. Another one, he banked, and he was like going up the left side of the court. Shots were so important because one of them that he made gave us the lead going into the fourth quarter. If they go in tied up or with the lead, they're feeling good going into that fourth quarter. But when you go on a run like they went on in that third quarter to have to claw and fight your way back into the game, and then you look up, and even if it's 1 point or 2 points, you look up and you down, it's just a gut punch.
I'm glad he talked about that. I don't know, Kylan, if you ever noticed that watching games as well, that a lot of players care about their field goal percentage to the point where they literally will not take a shot at the buzzer that might be like a 50-footer or something for that reason. And that drives Stephen Curry crazy. So any last notes, Kylan, as we wrap things up?
Yeah, I think that's interesting. But that's why I love Steph, because Steph does not care about any single stat about hitting any single shot. He doesn't care about his own percentage. Like, he will fire up the shot if he thinks the team's going to win. And that's what makes him awesome. But there are a lot of players that do care about those kinds of things. I think it's going to be very interesting. We're going to have to do one of our shows next week about the draft. Like, we got to do that on like Monday or something. Just looking back, I saw something that was posted today about the draft picks, the last like first round draft picks, and just like a look back the last several years. I just started looking at my phone, like, whatever happened to Jacob Evans? Remember Jacob Evans, who was drafted the year before Jordan Poole in the same spot? I think it was 28.
He didn't work out. Yeah, he didn't work out.
But so anyways, I saw some people making a case on Twitter for the fact that the Warriors actually swing and miss quite a bit with their draft picks, which I think they've been pretty good considering, you know, it's like if you're batting 500, 300, whatever, it's like in the grand scheme of things, you're doing all right. But we'll have to look back to the past draft picks. But it was just funny. I saw someone tweet and they're like, well, what about Jacob Evans? He was a joke. And I was like, whatever happened to him? Dude's not even late. Yeah.
At 28. People don't switch. You don't hit home runs drafting that late. I agree. It's incredible.
Some people get the Jordan Pools and the people that the Warriors do pull in late first round selections and Tom Looney's, and they think that's going to happen every time, and it's not. But that's something we can talk about another day. Yeah,
absolutely. Kevon was I know you got to run. I mean, look at teams like the Cavaliers. Look at teams like who had these really the 76ers, who year after year had lottery picks, and they had the same success rate as Myers did with picks in the 20s in the second round. Yeah, that's crazy. Jacob Evans did not work out, but he was a number 28 pick. That's how it works. Yeah. Kylan, have a great weekend. Thank you, everyone. And we'll be back at this soon. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Dubs. Later, folks.